Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Internet world. Welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and I want to say thank you once again for taking time out of your busy life to join me today on the broadcast. Today is Thursday, July 22nd, 2021. What's going on right now in Khuzestan province of Iran is a battle for survival. The things that you and I take for granted every day, food and water, the basics of life, the basics of survival, the Iranian people are fighting to the death to have the basics of life applied to their life. And I'm talking about water. There is a water crisis, a water shortage in Iran. And you would think that in a situation like this, humanly speaking, that the government would do all they could to provide for the people of Iran. But as I've said to you often, and more times than often, that the Iranian government is a culture of death. For more than 42 years, they have oppressed the people of Iran. And this is no different. And I want to talk to you this morning from an article put out by the Gateway Pundit, entitled Protests in Iran Spread to Tehran as the Biden Administration Negotiates with the Killers. If it isn't bad enough of the crisis going on in Khuzestan, that in spite of it all, Biden administration is still taking steps to negotiate another nuke deal with the Iran's mullahs, who are in turn killing the citizens of Iran in this water shortage. It's awful. It's egregious. When President Trump was in office, he was constantly tweeting support for the people of Iran. And in this situation, he would have done the same. But let's get right to it. There's videos, Twitter feeds of what's going on there. Braving gunfire and arrest, demonstrators have taken to the streets again in Iran's southwest Khuzestan province, protesting against drought caused by Tehran regime's diversion of the region's two main rivers. So there's two rivers that they have diverted, which would supply water to these people. And in the midst of it, the Biden government continues to negotiate with the regime in Vienna over lifting sanctions against this terrorist state. And at the same time all of this has gone on, as I mentioned to you, there was a plot not too long ago by the mullahs of Iran, the regime, to kidnap an opposition journalist in New York. I'm speaking of Masih Alinejad. But right now, to the crisis at hand, there are graphic videos uploaded to social media by demonstrators, and it shows protesters' blood-covered bodies lying in the streets with scenes of chaos as regime forces open fire indiscriminately in their effort to crush the protests over severe water shortages caused by the regime's damming and diversion of region's rivers to other areas of Iran, which have led to catastrophic drought as the scorching summer heat in Iran rises to over 125 degrees Fahrenheit. Now, Awazi rights groups leaders earlier confirmed the death of two protesters killed by regime forces back on Saturday, along with the injury and arrest of dozens more. Now, the demonstrations have been growing across the region since protesters gathered in front of the Awaz governor's office back on July 10th to protest against the transfer of Awazi water to Persian cities, draining Awazi rivers and depriving citizens of drinking water and water for irrigation and livestock, with the communities located on the Karun and Karaki rivers. They've been devastated by the chronic man-made water shortages, which has also led to agonizing death of hundreds of wild buffalo in the region, which have been left without water. So they're protesting this transfer of water to other Persian cities. They're leaving this community in desperation for the basics of water. The protests began on the 10th of July, but they have quickly spread to cities, towns, villages across the Awaz region, whose long-suffering people are doubly oppressed by Iran's totalitarian regime, not only being subjected to the standard persecution for demanding freedom, you can't have that, but also being brutalized and persecuted for their Arab ethnicity and subjugated under an effective apartheid system, denied fundamental rights, including the right to wear their traditional Arab garb or be educated in their native Arabic language. And that's now also on top of all of those discriminatory practices, they're being denied water from their own rivers. So this is a town in a village in the Awaz region. These are Arab ethnic people living in Iran, and they're being discriminated against with their clothing, their education, and now the basics of life, which is water. By this past Wednesday, protests had spread to other cities: Muharrami, Hamadeya, Mushur, Susa, Tostor, Sharur, Bostan, Mula, as well as Awaz City. All of these have witnessed large-scale protests, and you want to see these videos. They are not taking this lightly. The Iranian regime has reacted with the usual customary brutality, with its security forces savagely attacking protesters and using direct live gunfire in their efforts to crush the demonstration. You know, this happened almost 2 years ago during November uprisings, which was about the hike in the gas prices. And these were peaceful protesters, most of them, and they would fire upon them indiscriminately, killing them. Now, back on July 16th, 28-year-old Mustafa Askari from the Azbasabad neighborhood died instantly when he was hit in the chest with two bullets fired by a regime thug. On the same day, 21-year-old Qasam Kazari from Context in Awazi City's Kot Abdullah district was fatally wounded by indiscriminate gunfire as the security forces are shooting everyone. And later he died of his injuries the next day at Golestan Hospital. Now, Awazi human rights activists have reported that more than 20 people have been injured in the gunfire, some critically, including 20-year-old Mahdi Jamal, who was shot by security forces on the 16th of July. He remains in critical condition in the hospital. Another critically injured victim, Hashem Askari, is also in critical condition, along with a child named Muntazir, who was shot in the head and suffocated with tear gas. Reports that are coming out of this region tell us that 10 civilians were wounded, and their identities have not yet been provided. This is going on for water. the very basics of life that you and I take for granted every day. But these people in the Khuzestan province are being denied water. Now, keep in mind, with this going on, last week, Iranian journalist Masih Alinejad, living in New York City, revealed that the FBI had uncovered a regime plot to lure her to a third country and then there kidnap her. Now, why her? Well, she speaks out for women's rights. She started the Stealthy Freedom Movement, which shows picture of women taking off their hijabs, having the right to make a choice. She posts these pictures of brave Iranian women. They hate that. And so they wanted to do something about it. But she lives here in the United States, and they were going to try to have her kidnapped. This is what's going on while the Biden administration continues to negotiate with this same terrorist regime in Vienna over the lifting of sanctions and a return to the nuclear deal, which back in 2016 gave them $100 billion, including $1.7 billion in cash. And what did the Iranian regime do with it? Negotiate? No. They used the money for terrorist activities in Gaza, Yemen, and Lebanon to Afghanistan. And so the Biden administration State Department is cozying up to these Iranian delegates. And this is going on while these people in Khuzestan are fighting to survive. Iranian-American human rights activist Erica Kazri said to the Gateway Pundit, the Biden administration is on the wrong side of history. They cannot win over the hearts and minds of the Iranian people while they are being slaughtered for wanting freedom and democracy. How can the Biden administration negotiate with a regime that is no longer legitimate to its own citizens? We, the Iranian people, ask the leaders of the free world to stop recognizing this criminal regime and support the will of the Iranian people. I quote this from the writer Richard Abelson of the Gateway Pundit, an excellent eye-opening article. When you think about water, the basics of life, I'm thinking of what the Bible also says about water. It talks about living water. Jesus said to the Samaritan woman at the well, but whoever drinks of the water that I give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Jesus is that living water. The people of Khuzestan are fighting to the death for physical water to sustain and keep them alive. Can you imagine what that's like to live without that? And yet, the God of the Bible wants to pour out his living water to sustain and nourish us spiritually. Jesus says in John chapter 7, verse 38, whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Revelation chapter 21, verse 6, and he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. You know, science informs us that we need at least four basic elements to survive: water, air, food, and light. And we have this perfect example of water here, where Jesus says, I am the living water. I am the bread of life. I am the breath of life. I am the light of the world. And once again, we discovered that science actually backs up scripture. Well, what does, since we're speaking of the basics of survival, the basics of life, food and water, what are we interested in what the Bible has to say? Well, while we need that water to survive physically, we truly need the living water to be born again, to have a vital living relationship with Christ. Water purifies. Water washes away our guilt. The term water of life, you see it in the Bible. It talks about the presence of rain. And that was associated with blessings from God. Water of life refers to the Holy Spirit. In Joel, the outpouring of God's Spirit in the last days is closely associated with living water. And a rabbinic insight is that living water also is understood to mean a true knowledge of God. This is certainly associated with the Holy Spirit, who teaches us God's will by guiding and directing us in the way we should go. Let me give you an example. Jesus, in offering the Spirit, is claiming to be able to satisfy people's thirst for God. So I'm speaking now about a thirst for God. We've been talking about a physical necessity for water to live and to breathe. But we also have a spiritual thirst, which God says, I will give you living water to satisfy you. In Psalm 63, verse 1, David prayed, O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So in the same way that our body requires water for survival, David was saying, the true and living water I need is knowing you. And I seek you, I thirst for you, I long for you. And what that is saying, it was a deeper understanding of God that David was thirsting for. He who believes in me, Jesus says, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. When we believe on Christ, out of our hearts flow living water to give us life, to give us spiritual sustenance. Jesus promised us this kind of spiritual sustenance. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Psalm 42. Do you have a thirst inside of you, a spiritual longing? Because God promised to satisfy that thirst. And in the same way, speaking of thirst, Jesus correspondingly says also, I am the bread of life. Now, he was not referring to physical life, but to eternal life. By comparing himself to bread, Jesus makes the point that he is essential for life. And if we feed upon the living word of God, it nourishes us spiritually. In John 6:35, Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. And whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. In Genesis 2, we discover how God created man. He took dust out of the earth and formed Adam in his image. However, it was not until he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life that Adam became a living being. It was a very personal interaction. Unlike the universe, God did not simply speak the first man into existence. He formed him from the dust of the ground. Man is more than mere dust. We are spirit. The breath of God is the life and the power of God. He gives us so that we may live to exalt him. He is the source of all light. We need water. We need food. We need spirit, our air, and we also need light. With it, we see where we're going, and if there's any danger ahead, light keeps us from stumbling. Jesus declared, I am the light of the world. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So these four basic elements point to Christ. We need Christ if we want to live eternally with him in paradise. Science says we need these four basic elements to survive: water, air, food, and light. And Jesus is every one of these elements: the living water, the breath of life, the bread of life, and the light of the world. I want us to pause for a minute and pray right now for God's healing rain to fall down upon the people of Iran who are struggling for survival in this water crisis, in this water shortage crisis. As you listen to this song by Michael W. Smith, I want you to pour out your hearts before the Lord and join me in praying that God will intervene in this chaos and death and provide the very water these people need. And we also pray that the people of Khuzestan will look to Christ as their true living water and find their hope and freedom in him. This is Michael W. Smith and Healing Rain.
Healing rain is coming down. It's coming nearer to this old town. Rich and poor, weak and strong, it's bringing mercy, it won't be long.
Healing rain, I'm not
beautiful, appropriate song for the freedom fighters in Khuzestan who are fighting for survival. They are tired. They are oppressed. They simply want water. And we're praying this morning on the cross in the desert that God will not only pour out true physical water and meet their every need and stop the violence and stop the oppression, but this morning I'm also praying for the healing rain of God to fall upon the people of Khuzestan to give them true and living water that will strengthen, sustain them. I'm speaking of the living water of Christ within a person's soul that will rise up and give them truth and give them freedom and give them hope. That's what I'm praying this morning, for the healing rain of God, as in this beautiful song by Michael W. Smith, will literally fall out in the skies. People of Iran are broken and tired, and yet, there is a revival like nothing else in this world with the house church movement in Iran who are finding the healing reign of Jesus as the solution. They're finding their hope and freedom in Jesus. And while there's violence and chaos and fighting for survival, God is blessing Iran with his healing reign. And so this morning, I really ask that you take this program, share it with your friends. Make the story of the people of Khuzestan well known among your friends. Be their voice. Join me in praying for them and speaking out for them that they will very soon have relief from this physical drought and will have the basics of life provided to them. God bless you. Have a great weekend, and I will see you again on Monday on the cross in the desert.